So we are now recording, and I would say I know from personal experience that anything that you say from this moment could possibly go on air.
That's all right. I don't
because
mind.
When Syed is, you know, when he's not involved,
he doesn't care.
He does. He cares.
He shoots from the hip then.
Yeah.
Unless we say something really, really terrible.
I know. If you were to like scream the N word.
Yeah, I'm not doing that.
Yeah. He might just put it out there as an isolate.
Nuts.
Yeah.
This is the nut.
Yeah.
Drip.
The drip.
Drip.
The drip.
Nuts. Okay. We are in a reduced formula tonight because two of the dads are away.
Yeah.
Selfishly.
And the interesting thing is you never know when these are going to go out, these ones as well. So this could be like really relevant. Maybe this movie is blown up massively and everyone's talking about it by the time this comes out.
Yeah, could be. Or it came out in 2009, so it's slow burner then.
Did it? 2009?
I don't know.
No, this was quite a recent.
No, yeah, I'm pretty sure it's a fairly recent one.
Yeah. Did we say the name of it? Ballerina.
Ballerina.
Straight away, I was thinking this isn't what, you know, the title doesn't make it obvious.
Yeah.
This is one of those kick-ass films.
This is John Wick meets Swan Lake, I think you could say, or perhaps Swan Wick would be my...
There wasn't actually that much that ballet in it.
Well,
there's a little bit.
Some of the fighting scenes we're going to talk about.
Yeah, the fighting scenes and the fact that there's a ballerina in it as well.
Yeah.
There's a pretty big thing. But this is from director... Oh, I've got the name somewhere here.
I don't want to sound racist, but it could be his name could be Kim.
It's Lee Chung-hyun.
Okay, sorry, Mr. Lee Chung-hyun.
Yeah. And this is...
Lee Hum Chong. What else has Lee done?
He did a movie called Burning and another one called The Call, neither of which I've seen. I do have some experience of... I have watched a few Korean action movies on Netflix. I've seen The Villainess and Carter, both by director Jung Byung Oil. Oil? Gil?
It's South Korean, isn't it?
Yes.
Yeah.
Just to be sure.
Definitely South Korean.
I know that they like to push the envelope in their action cinema. There's some incredible scenes in those movies, and this is going to follow that kind of tradition.
How does it kick off again? Remind me.
It starts with like a little video game, a guy playing it in a kiosk or like a bodega or a convenience shop, and he's playing on his Switch or whatever.
Right. It's behind the till, isn't it?
Yes.
Yeah.
Because I watched this, it must have been almost 24 hours ago now, so you'll have to remind me little parts. But yeah, he's a convenience store and he's like a disinterested cashier.
That's right.
As a load of Utes come in, or not quite Utes, they're a gang.
Yeah. It's not so much, he's just not going to lose his life over a robbery.
Yeah, no,
like
he's quite happy to ignore them until they make it obvious that he can't ignore them because he says something questioning.
Well, they're disappointed with the contents of the till and they want him to open the safe at the back. And he's a bit like, I don't have the keys. And you can see this is suddenly starting to get a bit nasty. And then in the middle of all this happening, a young girl, very slight, wearing a beanie, comes through, puts down some breakfast cereal and just says, I'd like to pay, please.
For these, and she has a rolled up stack of cash.
Yeah. She's got a massive wad of cash. More than they've got in the till.
Yeah.
And they're all looking at it, the thugs who are about to rob the place and can't believe their luck. But
the gang leader, he puts like a knife to her throat straight away sort of thing. And then
I really like the scene because she could see that the till is open.
Yeah.
The guy has all the little cash that the convenience store had in a bag or a backpack.
Yeah.
And she just says, I'll take my change, don't worry. And she just takes her change
out of
from
their
the
stash.
Backpack.
Yeah.
From their backpack. And then the knife comes out and...
Yeah, so the knife comes out to her throat and you're still not really sure what's going to happen. And then suddenly it does all happen in a flash. She's using a tin of pineapple chunks, I think, as a sort of shield and a weapon. And she's deflecting blows and stabbing people and people being thrown all over the place. But her physicality is appropriate to it. She's more just like quick. She's incredibly
rather than
quick
strong.
And she does. She used the momentum of others to kind of spin the way they're going and push them.
Yeah. Exactly. They stab themselves and that sort of thing in the fight. Yeah, exactly. It's just crazy.
Yeah, no, it's fantastic. As you say, it's like John Wick. And she's dancing around and eventually she's tidied pretty much all the guys up. They're all on the floor. They've gone into the aisles. Things have been pushed over and everything, but she just finishes her stuff off at the till.
Yeah.
And then we cut to the titles.
We do.
Yeah.
Exactly. And then we get one of many flashback scenes. There's quite a lot of flashback in this movie. This time to a ballet dancer, Min Hee, will come to learn. She's on waiting to go on stage for a performance. She looks in great distress. She's really anxious.
You can see that she's stressed about something.
Yeah.
She just, you don't know at the time what's going on, but you can see that there's something wrong.
And she runs on stage and there's a really beautiful performance. I don't know fuck all about ballet, but it looks amazing because the cinematography in this movie is great.
Yeah.
And, you know, the framing and the color grading and stuff, all really, really beautiful. And towards the end of the dance, she kind of trips and falls. And then we cut back to who we now know is Ok Joo, our heroine.
Yes.
And she receives a call one night from the ballerina. I think it says it on her phone.
Yes, that's how she has it on her phone, as ballerina.
Yeah. They're sort of, I got the impression they were like friends or more than friends who hadn't seen each other in a while.
I have to say, throughout the movie, I tried to explain to Pete when I've seen him earlier today what this movie is about, because he will be on a flight and he was like, oh, I might watch this. And I wasn't sure if they're gay as a couple.
I think they are, but I don't think they're explicit enough.
They don't actually specifically show it or tell it,
no.
But they were probably closer than just friends.
Well, when she meets her, we talk about this in a bit, but when she meets her for the first time, when they reconnect as sort of young adults after being at school in the bakery,
yes.
The first thing she says, oh, have you got a boyfriend? And it's loaded the way she asks the question, even with the having it in subtitles, that you can understand the way that it's said.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I got the impression they were gay, but yeah.
She gets the call.
And so she comes, she wants to go over to her place. She goes and gets a boatload of booze, Bombay Sapphire.
Two bottles of gin and two bottles of tonic or some mixer, but 2 liter bottles of Bombay.
Yeah.
So you can imagine there's two girls.
Yeah.
And a bottle each.
Yeah,
and
they're going to be smashed.
And 4 different coloured straws.
That's right.
Which the cashier knows. And he goes, I haven't seen you in a while. So it, again, just paints the picture that this used to be a regular thing.
Yes.
Even the cashier guy knew her. And he goes, I haven't seen you in a little while. And she heads over to the place. And when she gets there to Min Hee's place, it's quiet.
Mm. Yes. It's a great flat though.
Yeah. It's all like, it's neon. The aesthetic is very much dry.
Well, you go in, it's outside. It's just like a normal kind of, you know,
it looks
long
like a council
estate.
Long, yeah.
Long run. But it's got this special key entry system, which she knows
the code
was
1234.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah.
something tricky like that. But then you go in, and it's like the TARDIS or something, you know, or you say all this neon, it looks really funky.
Fish tank.
And she's kind of puts the drinks down, has a look around. Nobody's there. She goes onto the bed. There's a box.
That's right.
She opens the box and inside it, there's a note with these
ballet shoes,
and it says, you know,
it says, please get revenge for me, I thought you'd be able to help. And then there's a reference to somebody, Chef Choi, at the bottom of the
room. Yeah, and then when we go into the bathroom with a Min,
she calls her phone, doesn't she? She hears it from the bathroom, and
Min Hee is committed suicide.
Yeah. She's in the bathtub in water. Yeah, not great viewing.
And so Ok Joo goes outside to look sad for a bit. And this is when we get the flashback to that meeting we were talking about.
Yes, when they met. She was in the cake shop and mint chocolate.
Yeah. And we uncover a little bit of her backstory, Ok Joo, that she works for an overseas business protecting like VIPs and stuff. And they were classmates at school and they have an instant connection. You can see that. So yeah, anyway, Ok Joo resolves to avenge her girlfriend.
That's also one of the only times in the movie where you can actually see proper, almost happy lighting.
Yeah.
That's the only time when there's a lot of light. They both kind of look happy. They both look with a bit of makeup on. They both look quite pretty and quite content and happy. And for the rest of it, it is filmed in that way, that is a little bit more dark and it's mostly at night, all the action and all that stuff. So
that's not to say that, because Ok Joo retains a sort of fairly masculine dress sense. Even in the flashbacks, she wears a lot of long baggy t-shirts and
hoodies and stuff.
And that sort of thing.
She does allude to the fact that she works in security. And obviously, I think, it's probably a little bit later on, but again, during one of the flashbacks, she talks about, worried about dying, you know, in my job and things. And it gives you a little bit of context of their relationship, because she just laughs and says, don't be so stupid. Obviously not understanding quite what she does for a living.
Yeah.
That point anyway.
Yeah. So Okju's going to avenge her girlfriend. So she starts Googling the name at the bottom of the suicide note.
Chef Choi 03 or something like that.
Yeah. And she finds a website.
Which is a handle for some social media platform.
Yeah.
And she starts an instant messaging type thing with them and tries to order something. I think it was, my assumption was it was the kind of drugs or something.
Yeah, because it says how many soy sauce. Yeah. And she only says one, and then he just leaves the chat.
Yeah. And then again, like you were saying, there it's into flashbacks and stuff and all that sort of thing that you were talking about. So let's keep going. She's become numb in her old job, Okju. That's what you were saying as well, isn't it, really? And that pain of being a killing machine just kind of dissipates when she's around.
That's it. Yeah. She'd fallen in love. I think, you know, it was clear.
So she stakes out some guy at the bridge.
Well, the phone rings. The ballerina's phone rings. And there's a man that says, come meet me at the bridge.
That's right.
I've not seen you in the last two meetings or something like that.
It's clever the way that
instantly gives her a load of abuse, even though she hasn't said anything over the phone.
It's clever the way she answers the phone, because she doesn't say anything. And he just says, oh, you're not talking to me again. Mm. And she just obviously holds her ear close to the phone. So he knows somebody's there.
But he thinks he's talking to the ballerina.
Exactly. Yeah. So he's just rambling on and on
Meet me at the bridge. If you don't come again this time, I'll assume that you really want to get into trouble or something like that.
He says, I'm going to make your friends and family hate you. So he's evidently got some control over them, and that'll be borne out with stuff that's going to happen. So yeah, she goes to the bridge where the drop-off is going to be. Tails watches some guy put some drugs in a bin, and then she clocks that actually it's the long-haired guy who's watching is the man.
He's the one that gives out the food packaging.
Exactly.
Like it looks like McDonald's bags, just like brown food bags, and it's inside the food actually or something like that. The guy opens some sushi box or something like that, and they just clearly take some drugs out and leave
it's in
the
soy
in
the sauce the little soy yes, sauce
yeah.
fish
yeah. yeah yeah the fishes yeah that's right so she follows that douchebag. He's got in a Lamborghini, gorgeous nighttime neon soul, just looks incredible, and she stakes out the place where he lives, an elaborate mansion, until morning. And then when Choi leaves after doing his press-ups and bending and shit in the morning,
I have to say that's a really cool scene.
Yeah,
with the way I don't know,
thing he's doing, it's like a gymnast, isn't
the calisthenics where he uses his own body weight and stuff. That's
I can do all that stuff.
Yeah, it's easy enough.
And he fucks off in his Lambo anyway, like messing up an old woman's chili stall. Yeah. And she takes the opportunity to sneak in.
The old woman gives him both barrels as well, didn't she? Yeah. She's like, you fucking bastard. Fucking ruined my chili peppers.
Okju breaks into Choi's place and discovers in his bedroom all manner of sex paraphernalia, whips and masks.
Yeah, he's got a little dungeon going on there.
No dildos, though. I was surprised by the lack of dildos. But,
I don't know if there was another drawer, but what he does have is little USB sticks of every woman he's ever raped and abused. Mm. And he's got them all proudly, like in a library format. And one of them says ballerina.
Yeah. So well, there's a few of them. That one says some runner or some kind of, they all have a tag, let's say. Yeah. And she obviously sees the ballerina one, puts it in and sees.
She sees Min Hee, and it's obvious what's happened and why she's killed herself.
And in fact, it flashes back to the ballet at the beginning, and we see that what was distressing her was that she thought she had visions of seeing Choi in the audience.
And she fell.
And that's what she fell. Yeah, so that was the instigator for her suicide. So awful. So anyway, Okju has installed a bug.
A few of them.
Yeah.
And if she wasn't angry before, she is fucking furious now, and she's ready to do whatever it takes to exact the revenge. And so she preps the room. She starts getting information. They still think they're after just some normal girl here who might have got lucky with a few punches, because there's a moment where she's going to be going face to face with him, isn't she?
Yeah. Well, they don't. Yeah. So she hears Choi talking about something called fishes and a mate, and he's going to a club and all this sort of stuff. So she goes, she gets dressed up.
He arranges with his mate to go to a nightclub, and there's two different ones. And he initially recommends a second one. He says, like, oh, should we go to that one? And then whoever the mate is says, oh, no, there's too easy there. Yeah. The girls are too easy there. So let's go to one where it's a bit of a challenge. So they end up going to whatever utopia or whatever.
Heaven, it was called.
Okay, sorry. Yeah, that's the one.
And Okju gets dressed up, I think, was it in an old ballerina outfit? She gets the certainly
top,
some of
the,
Min.
The top was definitely the ballerina, the one with this kind of stringy things around her waist.
So she gets dressed up and goes out and waits at the club, basically, for
She makes
Choi.
It very obvious, though.
Yeah.
Like, proper obvious that, hi, are you... He kind of... Oh, you, I don't know, whatever.
Oh, I took it the other way, because he goes a bit, it's like, he approaches her and says, oh, do I know you? And all this sort of shit. Like, oh, he assumes she's someone else. I thought that was his method, because he's always doing this.
Yes.
Meeting different women. This is where it goes a bit Promising Young Woman. Do you remember that movie
right.
that we watched?
Yeah.
It reminded me of this. Did you see that movie?
I don't think so.
Basically, she allows herself to be seduced. They go in his Lamborghini. Should we go back to your place? No, we'll go to this beautiful hotel. I live with my parents, he says. Fucking lol.
Has a Lamborghini lives in
the I know, yeah. So they go off to this hotel / brothel, basically, and they get the suite, and he drugs her drink.
She recognizes the suite from the video.
That's how
ballerina.
Amazing it is, but it has like prison bars and stuff.
Yeah, I know.
Inside.
It wasn't, it's like, oh, the Chinese style or something. And it's got the prison bars, and it's not that.
No, it's just some hideous brothel.
It's just a brothel type room.
He thinks, he gives her a drink, and, you know, the implication, I think we see him throwing the fish down the toilet. He's drugged the drink, and he just starts, he opens up his fucking bag of tools, puts on a gimp mask, goes back into the room. And I think you even hear her drop to the ground.
I'm not sure, but...
She's on the bed, and he starts to, you know, the implication is that she is unconscious until she very much isn't, just as she's about to be seriously sexually assaulted. And she stabs him, and he gets his hand up in time. The look on his face when he realizes that she's still conscious. Yes.
And the look on her face when she realizes this guy ain't an easy... Because he was quick to stop
instead
her.
Of being stabbed in the head, like in the temple,
he puts
his hand up, and he gets stabbed in the palm.
And it's just that moment of shock. Look, it's worth watching this movie just for that. Well, there's a few moments, the bit with the chainsaw as well.
But... there's a few good ones, I have to say.
But yeah, it's great, and it's believable as well, because she's never stronger than any of the men that she fights, but she beats them all. So so yeah, they have this great fight.
Yeah, great fight scene.
It kind of ends with her doing massive damage on him, but the guy from downstairs in reception coming up and hearing the commotion.
Is it the Glaswegian kiss or something?
It's like
she pushes the
smile.
You can see the blade through his, like, in his mouth.
Through his lip.
And then she pulls it towards her mouth. It's a brilliant scene.
Brutal.
But he manages to survive, because the receptionist who'd let him in comes in with a big shotgun and starts shooting.
Yeah.
She manages to take him down while he's reloading, but then legs it.
This was my favourite scene in the movie.
Then there's a guy... who's got a chainsaw at the end. She closes the door. She puts kind of a vending machine in front of the door so they can't get out and get her. But a guy with a chainsaw is running down this thin corridor.
He's like screaming like a like for some reason he's got a chainsaw and he's screaming
and
like a maniac.
He's got
and the camera like zooms in again, very much like a video game, as he's running and screaming. And just at the very last minute, the door opens.
Just the door in front of her is opened by another girl who's obviously been waiting for this moment to open the door, and the chainsaw falls on him.
And slices his own leg off. Yeah. Oh, it's amazing.
And that's it. He's just screaming then as they escape.
They steal the keys to Choi's
Lamborghini
and fuck off in that, don't they? Next is, I think, Choi being patched up by his boss and then kind of immediately grilled about what the fuck is going on.
Yeah, this was another one that I thought it was actually quite funny that he they get him to the hospital. There's a room full of everyone smoking. There's about 20 people in the hospital room, everyone smoking. They even give him a bit to smoke at the end.
Yeah.
He's getting, so his face is getting sewn back together. And then his boss is grilling him for what happened, what did you do? You're getting involved with all this shit, whatever. And then his boss is almost trying to rip his face open again.
Yeah.
They went through all this trouble just to do it all over again to him. Anyway, and then he says, oh, I'll fix it. Leave it with me. He's like, do I need to get involved? I'll fix it. He's like, no, Choi. He's like, no, it's only a girl.
Yeah.
She's got my car. I need revenge. I'll sort it out.
And he's got 3 days to do it and he's in pretty bad shape. But nevertheless, he's out on the street hobbling down, trying to find a lead. He goes to the pharmacist.
Yes, where, because that's his contact and his...
That's right. And he says, look, I'll give you 100 million if you can help me kill her.
Is that a lot? 100 million won? They said the Lamborghini was 300 million,
yeah,
wasn't it?
How
much is a Lamborghini? It was a new
150 grand or something like that.
Right, okay.
Is it? I think that one could be more. Even more. Yeah, yeah, I was thinking that one
250 or something, maybe.
Well, maybe, I don't know.
A lot. So it's a lot of money.
It's a lot of money. A million.
It's 100 mil.
Yeah, he offers him $1 trillion.
Yeah.
Kill Okju. Okju and her new friend, I did not get this character's name, and I cannot read Korean, so...
I don't think there is a name.
Okay.
She's never mentioned that.
Well, she's kind of the schoolgirl.
Shin Se-hui is the actress, but...
Right. Well, yeah. Shinny, we'll call her.
Shin. Let's just call her Shin. I don't know, maybe.
I don't think she has a name as in... told, especially in the subtitles bit.
No, it didn't, yeah.
As far as I can say.
She had been... waiting for an opportunity because she had been groomed and taken into this den with all these kind of evil overlords and gang members and everything. And, you know, they sell drugs and they sell girls. That's what they do.
That Choi gets hold over women by doing exactly what he does. He drugs them, rapes them, videos it, and then threatens, it basically forces them into prostitution because he'll say,
shame their family or whatever.
And it will be uploaded to the internet and your life will be destroyed. So he runs this weird sex ring.
Yeah.
Yeah. She said she dreamed about this moment her whole, like for the last however long, and now it's finally happening. And
what, the revenge?
Yeah, the revenge, and that, you know, all that. And now she's at Okju's apartment. And I think that's the kind of the scene where Choi goes to calls the police officer, or his pharmacist mate calls the police officer in the car.
That does happen.
The chemist guy calls some police officer and says, this is the Lamborghini, we're looking for
a girl. Right,
can you help us out? And then the next, I think, scene is Okju is going to get a takeaway.
Well, she goes to get guns.
Right, yeah. Oh, yes.
She meets up with an old contact because she needs some guns. And her old contact tries to kind of talk her out of this mission, whatever it is, but there's no going back. Okju's resolute. And, you know, I think she even explicitly says she owes Min-hee for restoring her faith in life. So this revenge mission is fueled by that. So she's put in contact with these fucking crazy gun peddlers.
It's kind of North American, I don't know, like carnival people, aren't they? They've got a traveling show, like one of those shooting balloon games.
Yeah.
Like you'd see in a fair, but the guns are real.
Sort of. Yeah. They're all absolutely old. Shit. Like one of them, I think, literally disintegrates in her hands as she's like...
Well, yeah, she's trying to make it. She's like, oh, it's a bit rusty.
Yeah.
The guy kind of tries to fix it, and even he can't.
So. Yeah. What's the little one she gets? The Behringer, is it?
It's a little snub-nosed thing. He says, oh, Sean Connery used it or something.
Yeah, there's one of those tiny little kind of two-shot guns they have in the old Westerns.
But he explicitly says to her something like, oh, you can hide this one and get it out at the last minute. And I was just thinking, ding.
Yeah, that will happen later.
I'll tell you, another scene in the hospital made me laugh, because it was a good scene, was when... it's all the guys here, and they're saying the big boss just totally says, he digs him in, doesn't he? He goes about all the sex. He says, all your silly little fucking sex games in that. Look how embarrassed, you know, look, all these guys, you're dressing up in fucking like whatever it was, lace or, and they're just pointing fun of him doing that. And he's just embarrassed. So he's totally lost like face against all these people. And he's just, you know, on a mission now to wreak havoc.
You're right. Just at the end of the crazy old fucks with the shit guns, she complains about all the weaponry and the woman says, well, what are you doing? She says, hunting. So she goes to the back of the van and digs out this. She says, oh, it's used to destroy wasps' nests and it's a flamethrower. And she demonstrates it on the beach.
Flamethrower.
And it's ridiculous.
Yeah, it's amazing. Yeah. Honestly, it's amazing.
It goes for, I don't know, like 50 meters.
Yeah. It's crazy.
It's a proper war one. It's not, you know, like Elon Musk has the flamethrower thing that goes for like 6 meters or something.
Yeah, yeah.
This one is a proper one that they used in wars.
I think it was all CGI, wasn't it?
You didn't even have to get that.
You would hope
so. It was amazing.
They're armed now.
Yeah, well, back at Okju's apartment, she's attacked by Choi and his underling, the chemical guy.
That's right. She goes home.
She jumps out the window to escape, doesn't she?
And they've taken Shin. They've taken her back. Yeah. And now she's, you know, needs to go and find her as well.
Yeah.
And it all heads back to some kind of factory, isn't
it? It's like an incredible indoor sand school with like glass over it. It was a beautiful structure. And there's all these shots of horses and stuff, if you like that sort of thing, like my 10-year-old daughter was. Wouldn't recommend this for her, but...
Not this movie, no.
Yeah, because some good horse content nonetheless. And this is the bit where Choi is telling his boss that he's killed Okju, chopped up her body and scattered it among the mountains. And his boss is pissed off because he wanted to talk to her. And also he wants a cut of Choi's drug operation. Yeah. Like, it's all in all really not a great day for him. He's like totally humiliated in front of everyone.
That's it. And the boss is kind of all powerful, isn't he? I mean, he stands up, everybody looks. He's a young kind of boss as well. He's pretty strong and fit looking himself. He's quite tall. He asks why Shin isn't dead, if they'd seen her be butchered, so he goes, you better take care of that. And so they take her off to like the shower unit where they just soak her with cold water and start to ask her kind of questions. And at this time, our heroine's coming in.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. She's found out where she's got a couple of guns and
her revenge spree is starting. Yeah. She goes, first off, she finishes off the two at the brothel pretty quickly. There was a great moment where because she finishes off the madam. Yeah. And you just see it off camera and the guy who's lost his leg from the chainsaw thing picks up a hatchet. And I was thinking, please let it drop and chop off his other leg, but it doesn't.
Yeah. No.
But she shoots him brutally through the head and her rampage has begun. She turns up basically straight into the drug operation, which is loads of plants. What was it? I didn't know. What was it?
I don't think I thought it would be weed, but it didn't look like weed.
It didn't look like weed. It
could be opium. Like, it could be like some sort of weird poppy kind of.
Yeah, they're doing something.
It's a pretty serious operation. There's dozens of guys in hazmat suits and the big boss is at the end there with his table and she just strolls straight in. She's got a gun and because this isn't America, like, that is actually scary to a lot of people.
Yeah,
so people do.
And she doesn't look like the only, pretty much the only person with a gun there.
Yeah.
Everybody else has either a hatchet or a knife or a bat or something.
That's it. They don't have guns in Japan, really, do they?
Or Korea
or anywhere else in that kind of part of the world.
Yeah. She marches in and she says, has anyone seen a girl about this high? And she makes it look about Yoda's height, but yeah. And they all start laughing at her. Eventually, the boss comes out. He starts giving.
I love this
brilliant scene.
Because you just
come sit with me. We've got no reason to beef. Pours himself a drink, and she just shoots him straight through the temple.
Just
amazing. It's because you don't see it coming.
No.
Normally, you think, okay, is she going to sit down? Are they going to have a massive fight? Are they going to have a shootout or something? But she just shoots him in the head.
She's already said, you know, look. Anybody speaks is to tell me where this girl is. And then the boss comes in like, oh, we don't. And he's like, you didn't get the memo, did you? Boom, you're gone. Now, anybody else? She just kind of turns around. Of course, when she lays off a couple more shots and her gun jams, that's when it kind of kicks off because all these guys that are tending the plants aren't gardeners. They're all ready with sticks and knives and everything to attack her. There must be 10, 15, 20 of them or something.
Mm. At least 20, I would say. Yeah.
And she's taking them all down eventually.
Yeah.
It's a great fight scene. And it's not...
And it is balletic, but it is also like muscular and physical and it looks painful and that sort of stuff. And
It's one of them that she also does get kicked because, let's say, the initial one with
the
pineapple.
She gets the shit kicked out of her a lot of the time, from the first one.
The one with the pineapple at the beginning, you think, oh, here we go. This is going to be one of them that she doesn't ever get touched. But then in most of the fight scenes, the first one, she gets stabbed in the arm or in the side. This one, she gets stabbed in the hand.
Yeah.
She gets thrown through the glass. She gets hit against the table and against the wall and all that stuff. So
a lot of times she's shown to be physically vulnerable. Like she's thrown around by the big guys before she finished.
Bob Odenkirk one we saw, Nobody. Remember, he wasn't the hardest guy. He got some big punches and kicks and everything, but all the fight scenes were just believable you know, and in this fantastic choreography where they're just moving people around and sweeping them under the table and over the top. Fantastic.
She just beats the shit out of everyone. Eventually she gets the boss's underling, the number two, and forces him to eat glass.
While
she's like trying to get him to tell her where Shin is. And where Shin is being driven in a little truck through the sand school where she encounters the underling.
They kind of
just stop to look at each other, bit of quiet. And then she sees in the back of the truck.
She sees, and what we assume Shin is dead because she's
face down in the back of the truck and not moving. It's not a good look. So she's just about to shoot the pharmacist when Choi comes out of nowhere with a shotgun and shoots her.
Mm.
But he seems to catch her in the arm.
Yeah.
And then the pharmacist jumps out and the next scene kind of just follows him round, congratulating Choi and going, bloody hell, you left that. I didn't think it was, you know, we were going to make it. And he goes, woof, right, look, I'll finish this off. You get that 100 million wired transit. He's like, right, you're next. And he takes him out, shoots him in the back of the head. So
and then
he goes, well, why million. Not? Everybody's fucking dead anyway, because it's true. She's killed everybody. Yeah. Word has obviously got through to him. And it's weird because where he shot her, she isn't there anymore.
Mm.
And she's just sort of shimmied round to the front of the car, but he's on her. He's about to level the gun at her. And then
Sean Connery.
Yeah.
Where
Shin rises up first, doesn't she? Shoots him.
Yeah. Well, what had happened, I think the gun must have dropped in next to Shin.
Yes.
Who then starts shooting. Absolutely terrible shots.
Yeah.
Just like, then, you know, they're 2 meters off him or something, but it startles him enough that he has to turn and look. And then
she finishes him off with the tiny little gun comes out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Great.
Couple of shots it takes still.
And then we finish with some really heartwarming scenes. And I mean that very literally when they take Choi to the beach, to Min-hee's favorite spot. And he tries to talk them round, tries to bargain, then he insults them. And this is basically the consistent theme of the movie about men underestimating women. And they constantly do throughout this and they pay for it the whole time. Yeah. And he says, I don't even know who you are. And she says, I'm the ballerina. And he laughs and he's like, I thought she was fat. He's just so horrible.
Yeah.
So horrible. And he's like, oh, if you kill me, I'll find your friend in hell and all this stuff. Horrendous. And then as the sun comes up, an enraged and tearful Okju cremates him with the flamethrower. It's amazing. Yeah.
It's funny because... It's a really good scene, but I thought after he gets shot twice with a little gun in that, I thought that would have been the end because I forgot about the flamethrower.
Yeah.
So I just thought, man, that will be it. And then either she finishes him or she lets him die a slow death or whatever. But then it's just, this scene is just like the added bonus at the end.
Yeah. He's just on the beach and she says, brilliant. Yeah, I'll follow you to hell. I mean, she's totally all in at this stage, and her and Shin both there on the beach while he just puts on a show.
Yeah, yeah.
She burns for ages. She's not just like a just to get him a light. She's toasting him, and he's just burning sort of embers.
Yeah,
left. And then it's like the tide comes up, but they're sat just on the side, aren't they?
Yeah, I think we get another little flashback to the beach where Min-hee talks about how much she loves the sea and she would love to be a fish, and the world belongs to the fishes or something like that. And Okju destroys gathers the evidence back at Choi's and looks at a little notebook, which I assumed were like Choi's contacts or other people who'd been doing this. And
I think it was Bridges and meetings and other people that he dealt with.
Yeah, so she's going out to destroy the whole organization, I guess.
Yeah, and then it kind of goes into the water and it's almost goes down into the murky depths until you see a little bit of light. And you think, oh, is that a fish or something? But it's not. It's a ballerina in the water, gracefully turning and twisting and cue credits.
Yeah.
I like this.
Yeah, it was good. I enjoyed it. I hadn't had any expectations. I just was flicking through Netflix and I just thought, ballerina, South Korean movie. And I'm pretty sure it said revenge of a young woman or something that seeks to revenge her friend. I was like, right. Click.
Yeah, it was a good choice. I'm pleased you put it on to me because Sunday night, it's an hour and a half long and it was fun. It was just pacey. The fact that, you know, it's in subtitles didn't make it any less for me at all. In fact, it was just being foreign and everything, it just made everything more crazy, to be honest, and I enjoyed it even more. It was... the lighting was brilliant. The characters were really good. The fighting was believable, even though the story's fantastic. Yeah, really, really good.
Yeah, I enjoyed it. I enjoyed it. I thought it was brilliant. And like you said, there's a few scenes when she rides the motorbike and it's filmed upside down. And there's like even the chainsaw scene when it's actually filmed from above, almost like from a drone. And there's a few scenes that you think, how do you think of, you know, the angle on this and
an interesting way to show
really
something.
Cool, really cool way of filming.
It never ceases to surprise me how many great films come out of South Korea, to be honest.
Yeah, there's some good ones.
There really are some brilliant ones. And this is, you know, as far as action thriller, you mentioned John Wick and, you know, Jason Statham or those kind of action
things. This is not quite...
To see a girl playing that kind of action part though and sort of kicking
it's not solid. We've maybe made it sound a bit more actiony than it is, because a lot of it, you know, that there is a middle section that is not at all actiony really. It's just about her moving around and investigating this organization, and there's a lot of the flashbacks were starting to grate on me as a lot of those. If they could have come up with a more interesting way to give up some of the backstory maybe, but yeah, this is always really good to see something different, a female point of view, this genre of movie as well, and then for it to look so stunning and to have a pretty cool score as well, synthy and K-poppy, good stuff.
That's right, the music and the soundtrack was top.
Strong recommend.
Strong.